The Iron Game Chalk Talk podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefery.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefery's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefery.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefery, and this is episode number 83. Iron Game Chalk Talk is a weekly podcast where I bring you experts in the field to talk shop. If you have not already done so, please subscribe to us on iTunes or YouTube, or join the mailing list at ronmckeefery.com to stay up to date with the latest things that we got going on and whoever the latest guest is. This week, real excited to have Bill Parisi with us. Bill is the owner of the Parisi Speed Schools. There's 60-plus locations around the country now, and for all of us that have been in this game for a while, we remember the old Parisi Speed School DVDs and just some fantastic coaches that have come through there: Martin Rooney, Joe DeFranco, amongst others. And you know, they do a fantastic job. And Bill is a great speed coach in his own right, as well as a businessman, and does a fantastic job still to this day. And so we get into his journey and how he's, you know, was able to build a performance facility that stand the test of time. We've talked about mentoring young coaches and time management, speed development. And what I really like to get into with coaches that have been in this for a while are, you know, the future of the field. And, and obviously he drops a ton of nuggets, just wisdom, throughout the entire episode. So I know you'll truly appreciate it. Before we get started, I want to make sure we recognize our sponsors, IgnitionAPG.com and EliteForm.com. Again, both sponsors back for the 2015 season. And couldn't say enough about EliteForm and Ignition. But, you know, EliteForm is a sports science company based in Lincoln, Nebraska. And, you know, if you've gone to a clinic, which, they're, you know, it's about to get kicked off with the clinic season with the NSCA show here in January and throughout the rest of the year, and definitely stop by, see what they got going on. Again, anytime you can integrate technology seamlessly into your programming, it's a fantastic deal. So check them out, like them on, follow them on their Twitter page. But I really appreciate EliteForm, the way they do things and how they're continuously giving back to the strength conditioning profession. So thank them for that. Get on Twitter, thank them for what they've doing, and just let them know how much we appreciate them. Lastly, if you're a young strength coach or a strength coach in a situation where you don't have a lot to mentors or interaction with other strength coaches, Strength Coach Basic Training is a product I created. It's basically a 8-series lecture that I would give our interns when they came in about the field and kind of how to progress through the field. We added it to a Facebook private group so that we're able to interact and get to know some other strength coaches, build a community. That's what this field is all about: networking and community. And so everybody that's been in it loves it. They've gotten a lot out of it. We mentioned jobs. We talk about how to create their own strength and conditioning resume, and put manuals up and things along those lines. So I know you'll enjoy it. Check that out, strengthcoachbasictraining.com, for more information. So enough about that. Want to get to Bill. Know you're going to get a ton out of this episode. Make sure you take lots of notes, and we'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, real excited about our guest today. Bill Parisi is a guy that I have followed for many, many years, and we finally connected on the phone the other day, and just a really neat experience for me to have an opportunity to talk to you, man, and learn from you. So I truly appreciate you coming on the show, bud.
My pleasure, Ron. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Bill, kind of, I love your journey, so I'd like you to talk to our listeners about kind of how you started in the field and kind of the path that you took to get to your current position.
Sure, sure. Well, it started out with my coach, my high school coach. I was a football track athlete in high school, and undersized, found weight training as a freshman, like most of us.
Yeah.
Early 1980s. And my coach said, to get stronger and faster for football, go out for track. And I went out for track my freshman year. I took a liking to the javelin. They had us try all the events. And I got into the javelin. So I competed in football and track, specifically the javelin, throughout high school. And showed some promise in the javelin throw. My coach, again, we're all coaches, so they've had the biggest influence in my life.
No doubt.
Specifically my high school coach, because he didn't have an ego. He's all about finding the best resources. Sent me to a track camp to develop my javelin techniques. That's where I met my college coach, Tony Naclerio, which has been a world-class coach. So my journey took me, I went on and competed in college athletics in the javelin throw, Division I, Iona in New Rochelle. And I was, had no money, come from a great family, but, resources were always very, very limited.
Sure.
Had to kind of, put myself through school, earned a scholarship in track, but when I was an undergraduate athlete, I had this passion. I was going to clinics around the country, around the world. I put a fundraiser together, and I went to Finland to train with some of the greatest athletes in 1989. Tapios Kuros won the gold medal.
Wow.
He's the head of the Olympic Committee now in Finland. I went to Finland in 89, trained there for a summer. I met an exchange student here in the U.S., which led me there. And in the 80s, I was on this quest. I met Lawrence Seagrave in 89, went to his clinics, and I was an undergraduate college athlete going to strength and conditioning clinics. I was a member of the NSCA in 1988, was when I became a member, became certified in 91. So that's how I got into it, wanting to improve my own performance and traveling around the country. I went on to become a Division I All-American in track, competed in Europe, and went to the Olympic trials at a fairly high level for a 5'10" Italian guy from New Jersey throwing the javelin. So, for me, I was studying strength and power, and, one of the books I got early on in my life was this one. I don't know if you could see it, but, Strength and Power and Sports.
Yeah.
20
awesome.
Years old, one of the first books I've ever read.
Awesome.
So, as an athlete myself and being a javelin guy, you got to be fast down the runway. You got to have the ability to stop that speed running at 80% intensity, stopping on a dime and transferring all that force through your lower body, through your spine, through your shoulder, through your wrist, elbow, wrist, and into the javelin for hand speed. And studying that technique, studying speed, studying power, led me to realize in America, and this is the 1980s now, where we're all the Nautilus machines.
Yeah.
In America, no one's really teaching mechanics or technique or speed in terms of for the average athlete, for the average high school, grade school athlete, or just, quote-unquote functional training. I know that's a buzzword. So that was the idea. That's where it came from. Really, it came initially when I was in Finland, and I saw their gym when I was working out there in the 1980s. It was a big open space, 50-yard track, or 40-meter, 50-meter track inside. They go by meters. And open space, Olympic platforms, med balls. And they instructed me, you have to do 10,000 med ball throws in a winter. That was one of my protocols, 10,000 med ball throws in the winter in the 1980s. So that was really the birth for me. Graduated college, and at that point, I wasn't satisfied. So the American record holder, Tom Puskas in the javelin, was at the University of Florida. It was the NCAA champ. And I moved down to Gainesville. I moved down to Gainesville, immediately graduating college, to train with Tom, and I became a GA for the Gators. It was Steve Spurrier's first year. Kind of, called him up on a whim, and got right into it there. And always was forward in my approach in terms of if I wanted something, I went out after it.
Yeah.
One of the clinics I attended was a clinic by Johnny Parker, the former strength coach of New York Giants. He brought in Angel Spazoff.
Awesome, yeah.
One of the many clinics I attended throughout the 80s and early 90s. Sat in the front, sat there all day, got to know Johnny for the first time. This was probably 89, believe it or not. Yeah, it was 89. And at the lunch break, and I'm 20 years old, 21 years old, soaking it all in. At the lunch break, I asked Johnny if I can go to lunch with him and Angel. He was kind of taken aback, this young kid, pushing themselves on us. And he was like, okay, come along. And I just got back from Finland that summer, a year ago. I just got back, and I told him I was an All-American javelin guy. I went to Finland. He was really impressed. And he actually had me come down and work with Phil Sims. So Phil Sims after his Super Bowl MVP, only a couple years after that, I started training. He was one of my first clients.
Wow.
And I was an undergraduate athlete in college training Phil Sims. My friends didn't believe it in my fraternity house. I came back with 12 Redskin Giant tickets. They started to believe me.
Yeah, so, right.
But, you know, that was really the story. And it's funny because I have an undergraduate degree in finance. And one of my successes in business is because my background in business, I did my internship on Wall Street. But, you know, right from college, I got right into the business of strength and conditioning. I got my CSCS. I got my NASM certification. I took anatomy at the University of Florida. Took an exercise phys up here at the graduate level. So kind of combined both disciplines and, you know, kind of was able to put it all together and make some good things happen.
Yeah, obviously the business has done phenomenal and has, you know, gone across the country. I was one of those 5'10 javelin throwers myself. I did it in college as well. So that's a neat story, man. And I think there's a lot of nuggets in there. You know, the biggest of which was, you know, and we talk about this on the show a lot, is the passion part. You know, unless you're willing to do it for free, or unless you're willing to go as a undergraduate, you know, student and go and learn about this stuff on your own. It's hard to make it in this field, you know, and you got to be willing to put in the time, and you got to be able to have the gusto to go chase your dreams and to be willing to go ask a Johnny Parker to launch and at 20 years old. And, you know, and I think the other thing that you hit on that I always challenge our listeners on is, you know, by going outside of the United States and going to Finland, it kind of opens you up to this global type of approach, and it really expands your mind. You know, and it's a whole big wide world out there, and so you make yourself well rounded by, you know, by challenging your ideals. You know, because like you said, it was Nautilus at the time, and it was all, you know, and when you get opened up to new ideas, that's when you really grow as a strength coach. So what an awesome story. You know, there's a lot of young coaches, and this show is really kind of set up to be able to put a young coach in the room with you and I talking shop. And you've had some great young coaches come through your program. I mean, Joe came through your program, Martin came through your program. You know, talk a little bit about how you were able to instill a system that was replicable and developed young coaches through that system.
Great question. You know, it first starts off, you know, I don't have an ego, and I know that the business is named after my name, but early on in my career, when I first started, some young marketing woman came to me and says, why don't you use your name? Because originally, I called it the Sports Conditioning Institute was the name. And the woman was like, you know, and we used that name for about a month, and she says, you know, people don't get that. It's too kind of involved, you know. Use your name. You have a great story, because I was back from Finland and University of Florida training Phil. I said, okay, I wasn't too, you know, excited about it, but I said, okay, well, we'll just go with it, because people love a story.
Right.
People connect to a story. So, you know, use my name, but it was never about me. It's about a platform. You know, I've built a platform to help other people succeed. And one of the greatest books I've read, and I know we're going to get to that, but it applies now, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah,
and the takeaway is, helping other people get what they want, you eventually get what you want.
Absolutely.
So creating a platform, giving people the opportunity, the autonomy to grow. I mean, my business, my success is directly related to the people I put around me over the last, you know, 20 plus years from all different areas. And I'm proud to say these guys have come through my program and started with me for whether it be 3 or 4 years, like Joe or Martin for 15 plus years, and a host of other guys now with over 80 locations. I mean, we've got a lot of guys that have come through the program. And, you know, we have a foundational system. You know, what we teach, you know, it's not, you know, super complicated. It's all about simplicity. It's all about giving kids fundamentals and really holding them accountable and keeping it safe, keeping it progressive, keeping it fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's about providing a platform. If anybody in this field wants to grow, one, we've got to lose the egos. I think that's a challenge in our industry. I mean, a lot of people, I've got the best program. Everybody's got, you know, programs, you know. It's not about the program. It's about the delivery. It's about how you engage, how you connect, how to empower people. I mean, we all know programs have to be safe, they have to be progressive, they have to yield results. But I got to tell you, there's a lot of ways to skin that cat.
No doubt. You know?
we shouldn't fight about, you know, what's the best. It's what's the best delivery.
Right.
Right.
I use the example of McDonald's. You know, I'm sure, Rod, you can cook a better hamburger than McDonald's. You know, if you had a barbecue, you wouldn't bring out a frying pan.
Right.
Fry a patty on a with some oil. But, you know, would you compete against them in a hamburger stand? Probably not. It's not because of their product. It's really because of their delivery is why they're successful. So I'm not discounting our product. Our product has to be again, safe, progressive, and yield results. But how are we delivering that product, and how are we getting people to rally around us to engage kids and athletes to get them to buy into you?
Absolutely. That's such a great point. It's something we talk about quite a bit. It's not, you know, you can write the best program on paper, right? But if you can't get them to do it, it doesn't mean anything. And you know, we're an open book here at our program. I know you're an open book as well, and share so much because it really is. Comes down to, you know, we talk about, you know, you spell love T-I-M-E with your athletes, right? What you love, you spend time on, and you know, developing those relationships is really kind of the foundation to be able to ask them to do things that they don't normally want to do. You know, and I know you do that with your athletes. You talked a little bit about the business, and you know, what's great is, like you said early on, I mean, you got your degree in finance, you kind of got this eclectic deal, you got 80-plus locations now, you write, you speak, you put out products, you know, the time management part of that is phenomenal to me, you know, and as a strength coach, that's one of the fundamental skills that you really have to develop to be successful, I think, is having great time management skills. What are some of the tricks to the trade, man? What, you know, you've been in it for a long time. What are some of the things that you do to kind of manage your day?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, it's a great book called Execution, and I'll give you the cliff notes on the book called Execution. It's don't overload your plate.
That's
and,
right.
You know, the secret to time management is not to put too many things on your plate where you can't get to them or you can't get to them well. I mean, you know, Martin Rooney, who you know, is my best friend, been with me for a long time, you know, never overloaded his plate, you know, and that's one of the lessons, you know, we've taught each other a tremendous amount of lessons over the years, but to give advice to people, it's about do a couple things, but do them really well, and if you do that, you can manage your time. It's when time management becomes an issue when you just got too many things going on.
Right.
You know, it's kind of, you know, I don't really have a lot of personal friends I have kept in contact with over the years because I'm just too busy. I've got two boys, a 12 and a 10-year-old, my wife, family, business. So, you know, it's prioritizing. It's what's important to you right now and going after that. You know, if any one of my friends call me, I'll be there for them in a minute. But, you know, it's just at a point where you got to put what's important in your life now and then, you know, just trimming the fat and getting rid of, you know, bad relationships, getting rid of just things that aren't going to keep you productive and keep you effective, and surrounding yourself with the right people. I mean, one of the other ones, not only keeping your plate clean, but I surround myself with a lot of people that are a lot smarter than me all the time. I mean, I'm not about trying to be the smartest guy in the room. I'm always proud to say when I have a meeting with my team, I hope I'm the dumbest guy in the room. And it's not about ego. And I was able to build a business with 80 locations, having that mentality and just building people up and giving people a platform to grow. And, you know, people are going to move on. You know, people moved on. You know, Joe DeFrank, all these guys moved on. That's great. You know, that's what we're here for, to help people grow. And now people might say, oh, they're competitors. Hey, there's enough water in the sea to make all boats float higher. I think our industry, we're so worried about, I know in the private sector, people get jammed up about, you know, this guy's competition. Hey, let's all do a great job.
Right.
I mean, in the health and fitness industry, according to IHRSA, we're only penetrating, you know, 18% of the population that belong to health clubs.
Wow.
And that includes kids and sports performance facilities. So, you know, less than 20%, 2 out of 10 people are actually going to some type of gym. So there's another 80% to penetrate there. If we do a great job and people stay in business and we all give great service and, you know, hey, there's enough to go around. And that's how you're going to grow the market. So, you know, I've studied a lot of about the fitness industry. I've owned and operated 4 major health clubs, you know, 25,000 square feet. We've had 8,000 members, about 2,000 members per club.
Wow.
And they all had sports performance inside. So I know a lot about the industry and understand it. And it's about putting out a great product, not just with Parisi, but everyone out there putting out a great product. As a strength coach, putting out a great product, understanding how to connect. So, I mean, there's a lot of advice I can give to strength coaches because I know the field is very competitive.
Right.
And there's just simply not enough jobs to go around for everyone to truly make a really good living where you can put your kids through college and have a retirement. It, you know, it's a tough gig.
Yep.
That's why the private sector is becoming more and more important. And in that private sector, you know, there's enough to go around if you do a great job.
No doubt, no doubt. And, you know, part of that, like you were saying, is I think there's a way to as a strength coach, to brand yourself, to market yourself, but not in a douchebag kind of way, not in a way that's going to be, you know, overzealous and things along those lines. What, you know, and you've done a great job of that, because like you said, I mean, the business has your name on it, but it's never been just about you. You know, it's always been about, you know, what a great story being able to have 80 plus locations and be able to give jobs to so many people and opportunities. And talk a little bit about, you know, maybe some of the ways that you think strength coaches can go about branding themselves in an appropriate way.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the most important skills coaches need to acquire is the ability to speak and present. And, you know, that's a natural for a lot of us because we're always presenting, you know, in sessions, giving a kid a workout. Give an adult a workout, but going out and being able to educate other coaches and being comfortable and really making it simple. I mean, and that's the magic. You know, I hate to use the words dumb it down, but get it to a point a high school coach can really get it, in a few minutes, and he can apply it and he can implement it. It can be effective for his team, and keeping it really simple. I think a lot of times as coaches, we think our programs have to be, you know, super advanced. Hey, if you have a D1 kid and he's reached the peak, all right, we got to get more specific and more dialed in. But to go to the masses, that becomes harder, especially when you're trying to gain a brand or build a reputation. You got to keep it easy, fundamental. That's why our program is really based on movement mechanics, you know, really teaching movement. And that's, you know, that's what we do. Everything is about movement, you know, the acceleration technique, deceleration technique, change of direction, center of gravity management, you know. So if you get kids strong, you keep them flexible or get them flexible, and you teach them how to move correctly, you're going to have a better athlete. That's how simple our program is. You know, get them strong, right? Get them, you know, you don't have to be super strong, but get the stability going, get all the, you know, functional stuff going, get all the things you need to know, you know, the spine, get it strong, get it stiff, all these new things, you know, the latest research is coming out with, and then teach them how to move. Teach them how to move. I don't think as coaches we teach movement, you know, speed movement, acceleration, deceleration, change of direction, to the level of detail that we probably could. And, sure. And that's how we built our brand. I hooked on to movement because being a javelin guy, the javelin was so technical. If you were one, you know, centimeter off with your wrist, man, your point is way up and you lost the throw.
Right.
So I took that philosophy of, you know, the javelin with such detail to movement. I'm saying, why isn't anyone applying this level of technique to speed,
sure,
to acceleration, change of direction on the athletic field? And how I explain it to the parents or to other coaches, if we can teach a young 5-year-old to sign up for martial arts, say Taekwondo, and people all believe that if a kid goes to Taekwondo 3 days a week and he's consistent, after a few years, he'll ascend up from a white belt to a yellow belt, orange, all the way up to a black belt in 3, 4, 5 years.
Sure.
And what did he do? He improved his movement efficiency, his ability to generate force quickly. I mean, that's what he did, you know.
Right.
And he did that with no equipment, no weights, just going to a dojo, working specific technique. And then when that kid goes to spar in a competition, he has to react to different moves and kick and punch and block. That's what we do in speed.
That's it.
I mean, that's it. It's just, you know, acceleration, deceleration, knowing the mechanics behind these things, drill, 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 put them in an application. When we do cone drills, it's not go touch the cone and back. It's, hey, where's your center of gravity? Where's your base of support? You know, how do you get into that proper angle, that vector force, all those things kids, you know, we teach. We
right.
teach at a young age. I mean, we're not talking vector forces with an 8-year-old, but we're talking center of gravity.
Sure.
We're talking base of support and the relation between the two. So, you know, teaching that stuff, I believe, is paramount to getting the kids.
I would imagine it's probably the same for your more advanced athletes, but, you know, with the business built around speed and movement mastery, you know, with your more elite athletes, what do you see the strength and conditioning community doing well? And what do you see, like, an area that you know, athletes are coming and it's still like there's some room for improvement.
You know, I think it's tough to be a college strength coach today for a lot of reasons, meaning, you know, it's long hours. You know, you're confined to the one silo there for the most part, you know, in terms of, you know, doing what you do. And you have a certain amount of time to train the athletes, but also at the same time, you have so many athletes you're dealing with. That's not an easy gig. And what I see, you know, we get guys coming out getting ready for the combine or whatnot. You know, we see that guys are overtrained, just simply overtrained. And they're just, you know, I think a lot of people think more is good. And I believe everyone should be treated more individually where, you know, we've kind of had this rating system with athletes. You know, when we look at, you know, guys like, you know, cornerbacks or wideouts, you know, we look at them more like cheetahs. Their nervous system's really vibrant. Their recovery time is longer. When you look at tight ends, they're more like rhinos. And, you know, they're not as fast, but they got some speed, but they got some strength. Your linebackers, tight ends, then you got your elephants, your linemen. You know, they recover faster. They're not generating, you know, the amount of speed that these other guys are. So recovery times, I think the underlying factor here is understanding our athletes' recovery. Sure. And different athletes need different level recoveries. I mean, you look at the cellular level, what's going on with athletes, everybody's DNA is different. You know, people have different food allergies. People, you know, have different levels of recovery. You know, sleep, you know, hydration, all fundamentals, but I don't believe these athletes are recovering. A lot of them at the level, we see guys coming in, they're overtrained, they're beat up. A lot of times, over the years, over the last 15 years, training combine guys, you know, a lot of guys, we just pulled them back, tuned them up, let them rest, refine their technique. Some of them, we didn't even lift their lower body for 6 weeks, so they blew out combine numbers.
Right.
So, you know, these are things that I think, you know, it's one thing to make an athlete tough and condition them. You know, there's a time and place for that. There's another thought when you do that so much where, you know, a kid is just burnt out. He doesn't even know he's burnt out. You know, he's not as well. He's not, you know, he's in a slump. Well, sometimes if these kids just rest, give them time off, they just get so burnt. But again, being a javelin guy, I know that really well. Just to train myself for, you know, 10 years, knowing how to optimize, you know, explosiveness. Now, I know football and other sports, it's not a, you know, 5-minute event like the javelin. But I do believe from my experience that, you know, if I can share anything with strength coaches, you know, put more time into understanding your athlete's recovery.
Absolutely. Well, it's something that you're constantly, like you said, I mean, there's always a time and place for everything, right? And everything works or in moderation. You know, if you go too far in the extreme in any one area, if you place too much time in recovery, you're going to have detrimental effects as well, you know?
Yeah.
But I agree with you 100%. I mean, that's you know, it was a great quote by Mark Asanovich, one of my mentors, and it was always not, you know, it's not how much you can do to get the results. It's what's the least amount you can do to get the same results.
Yeah.
You know, and I totally agree with that as well. You know, you've been in this field for a long time. What do you see the future of strength and conditioning being? You know, I mean, right now, like you said, I mean, there's you know, I've spoke at the CSCCA conference, national conference, and I had every strength coach stand up, and I said, you know, sit down if you can't name five people that have retired being a strength and conditioning coach, and the whole room sat down, you know, 400, 500 people. You talk about the business of strength and conditioning and the performance side, and it's like, you know, places are opening and closing all the time, and there's a handful like yourself that have stayed the test of time. You know, where do you see the field going, and how can people be successful in it?
Yeah, another great question. You know, I see, again, the jobs in strength coaching are few and far between, you know, that you can retire, and then staying at one spot for a long time is not easy either. The private sector obviously is growing. And the biggest challenge we have as an industry, people coming out of the college or professional strength coach ranks, they all want to work with the elite athlete. You know, there's just not that many of them.
That's right.
And when you think about it, you know, there's...
They all want something for free too, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's over 30 million kids in the U.S. that play organized sports between the ages of 7 and 17. But of that 30 million, only about 8 million play high school sports.
Right.
So when you got, you know, that kind of a fourfold increase for youth sports, 7 to 14, that's our sweet spot. I mean, if you want to make a living and retire doing this, you know, you got to learn to love training kids.
Right.
I've seen tons of guys open and close their businesses because they want to train just the elite athlete. They want to train the serious high school athlete who wants to play college. Well, I got to let everybody know there's not that many of them out there.
Right.
And there's enough to pay your electric bill and put your kids through college, you know. and to do that long term, I'm not saying it can't be done. Some guys absolutely do it. And there are some facilities around the country that train just elite. But you can probably count them on one or two hands.
Right.
That, you know, they can make a serious impact. And when you talk to the college level athlete, they're in college most of the time. I mean, they're with you maybe a few weeks out of the year. And the pro athlete, again, they're with you maybe a month out of the year. So the revenue generation out of the elite level athlete is very minimal. And right. I don't know what everybody that misses about that one. You know
right.
what I mean?
It's
a huge miss. It's knowing how to train the 7 to 14 year old. I mean, why have I been successful and we have 80 locations? Because that's our sweet spot.
Right.
And people, you know, it's complicated. No, we make it easy. We make it fundamental. You know, there's a philosophy we follow, you know, with training kids. And I think, you know, to answer your question, I think that sector of the market is the biggest growth opportunity. When you become great at that, you can make a living and enjoy it. We've got more and more of our people now are buying Parisi locations for standalone facilities. You know, just finding 3,000-4,000 square feet and having your own gig. And think of a martial arts studio. They've been around for years.
Right.
You know, 20, 30 years opening martial arts studios. Well, now this is similar to a martial arts studio, but training for kids. But the point I was going to make before in terms of training with kids, it can't be fun. Like they're going to the water park and they're going to come in. It can't be serious where it's the pro athlete model where it's all business and no fun.
Right.
You got to make it serious fun. You know, you got to combine the two and make it serious fun. And that's the magic, you know, building
right.
a kid's self-esteem, building them up. And watching a kid grow, how cool is it to get a kid at 7 or 8 and bring him through his years, 9 to 10, and get him ready for high school sports? I mean, what an impact where a kid maybe never would have saw the high school field. And you know Ron is better than as anybody. High school memories, they're hard to beat.
No doubt.
You know, when you think about all the athletes that got to play college and pro, you know, there's something special about the high school sports. It's our goal to get everybody ready to play high school sports if that is their goal. And that's a great feeling.
That's awesome.
You know, we've trained over 500,000 kids and got them ready for high school sports. And, you know, it's special. And when you go to those games and you watch kids compete and you've been with them since they were 8 or 9, they couldn't walk and chew gum or skip and chew gum at the same time. They couldn't do one push-up when you got them.
Sure.
And now they're the captain of the high school football team. You've seen them grow into that. It's a great, great opportunity.
No, that's you're absolutely right. It's some of my best memories is high school. And not only that, but I talk to a lot of our young strength coaches, young interns that are coming through, and I'm like, look, that's an untapped market in and of itself is that high school strength conditioning spot. Just because, you know, there's not very many positions right now, so there's infinite number of opportunities there. And you talk about making a real impact, which is what I think all of us do as coaches and want to do as coaches. You have a tremendous opportunity to help shape society, I think, by being with that age demographic. And even, you know, the earlier you can get, the better with the 7 to 14 for sure. I totally agree with you. We kind of always end these things with some resources. So, you know, what's the best piece of coaching advice that you've ever received?
I mean, I receive so much coaching advice, but you know, it's really, really showing the athlete that you care. You know, I mean, the best quote I use all the time is kids, athletes, they don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I know that's cliche and that's been out there a long time, but it goes beyond the reps and sets. It goes beyond the programming. It's really making a connection with that athlete, that family.
Right.
You know, really connecting with them. So understanding the power of a connection, the emotional connection that you have with kids and people, and that comes with holding kids accountable. It comes with, you know, showing tough love.
Sure.
But it also comes with, you know, giving them everything you got and really providing them a platform. You know, I talked about providing a platform for coaches in my system. Well, my facility is a platform for athletes to express themselves and come in. And, you know, it's you know, an opportunity for them to have a second home.
Sure.
You know, for home and connecting with them. So, you know, it's relationships. It all comes down to building relationships. and understanding, you know, there's different types of personality. So I guess to sum that up, your best piece of advice is know who you're dealing with and, you know, spend some time understanding psychology and how to manage and how to listen. You know, listening is a skill. I don't think we spend enough time in honing our listening skills. And to be a great coach, you need to be a great listener as well as a great, individual that provides information.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're talking earlier about, you know, kind of, you know, coaches that are, you know, either A, getting out of strength and conditioning, going into the performance route or things like that. And, you know, and what happens is a lot of times they fail because they don't understand the business piece or they don't understand that relational piece. It's not just so much do what I say because I said it anymore. It's do what I say because, you know, you've got to educate them and make it fun and make it relational. And that way they want to be there, you know.
Yes.
So and I know you do that in your business as well. What about a quote? You know, I'm a big quote guy. What's a quote that maybe you have up in the weight room or one that you live by?
Well, one of the quotes I use all the time, and I have it, is get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite too.
Yeah. That is something that I see that in my business, in the business of the private sector, owners or operators of facilities, they get very uncomfortable holding people accountable to perform a certain amount of production. You know, I'll give it to you in a straight line. Why facilities don't do well? The coaches in that business truly don't understand the financial mechanics to the business.
Great.
And they think, you know, the check, their paycheck should just be there. You know, I should just get a check if I show up and put my 40 hours in a week. Just by showing up, you know, I should get a paycheck for working for this business. But people need to understand that they need to engage and connect and build a clientele and get people to want to come back and go out and present and build a little bit of a sub-brand within a brand. I mean, at the end of the day, when a coach works for a facility, you know, people come to the Parisi Speed School. Yeah, they come. But at the end of the day, people are developing relationships with our coaches.
Right.
And so our coaches have a sub-brand. They got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. They got to get out there. They got to do their thing. They got to show expression. They got to express themselves. And managers who manage coaches, if someone's not pulling their weight, they've got to let them know, hey, listen, we've got to either modify your pay or we've got to change your hours. We got to do something. But, you know, in any business, if you're working and you're delivering a certain product and the product's not selling or it is selling, you know, your compensation should be reflected on that. And that's, you know, that's a piece of advice, you know, I would give to any business owner, any coach in a private sector, is to understand the financial mechanics, the accounting of the business, and getting your people up to speed on that and letting them know, here's what we need to generate, here's what we need to do, and if we do this, you get Y. We're a big model business where if you generate X amount of business, well, there's going to be upside to make more money.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. That's, you know, I think a lot of strength coaches are this way, but, you know, But I'm an introvert by nature. I mean, that's who I am. I have to get by myself to kind of recharge sometimes. But in my work, in my job, I have to be an extrovert. I have to be in front of the group. I have to command the room. I have to go speak on a stage in front of several hundred people or whatever. And you know, you have to work at being uncomfortable for sure. You know, if you're going to have success, but you got to also know who you are and be able to provide yourself, you know, in those opportunities and challenge yourself. Find mentors to challenge you to get outside of your comfort zone.
Yep. And go to your community. I mean, I think, it's being well-known in your community, donating your time, giving, you know, free lectures. That's how I got started, just giving lectures, free seminars, free events for coaches, education. I mean, you know, we put out DVDs. We want to share our information. You know, just want to help make other people better. I mean, just go out and help make other people better. Don't hoard your information. Share it. Help make as many people better. And somehow it just finds you, you know.
Absolutely.
I have a degree in finance. I did my internship on Wall Street. And I never went down that route because it wasn't about money for me. I never chased the money.
Sure.
If it was about money, I would have been on Wall Street managing, you know, billions of dollars. But I got into this industry, never chased the money. I just chased the dream of helping kids get better. And then the money finds you.
Yeah.
You know? it just finds you. If you're out there doing the right thing and you provide a great service and you provide a great platform for people to grow, you know, it just finds you. So never chase the money, chase the dream, do the right thing, make the right decisions, understand accounting if you're running a business.
That's right.
And it will find you.
Well, the other part of that is it doesn't happen overnight, right? It's something that you have to invest and put time into and be diligent. But that's why I always ask the journey question, because I want people to see that, you know, you just didn't open up the facility and all of a sudden you opened the 80th one the next day. You know, it was plenty of time.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you, I opened my first facility, opened in 1993, and it was a small little 2,000 square foot facility in Wyckoff, New Jersey. And, at that point, I was, $50,000 in debt and no money, and then eventually opened a second facility, and then a third, and then a fourth, and had four company-owned, and then started licensing and franchising and providing other people our intellectual property and business resources
sure.
to really help them succeed. So, we don't own the 80 locations. We license, we license the information, the training, the marketing, the financial mechanics of how to run a business, etc. So, it's been a great ride to be around so many great people in the Parisi network and meeting others, throughout the country.
Yeah, it's great. And it's just like with anything, when you are learning a new skill, just like our athletes are coming to us to learn a new skill, it benefits to have a coach, And so if you are a strength coach and you're thinking about going out on your own, find a coach, find a Bill Parisi and talk to him about their system and see if it's right for you. But you got to be mentored in this field, in any field, you got to be mentored. What about a book recommendation, website, and app?
Yeah, there's so many books to recommend. I threw a couple out here already, but probably if you're running a business, the best book that really brought it all together for us, and we've always kind of followed this philosophy, but Patrick Lencioni's The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. Mm-hmm. A super book. We've done the workshops. We facilitate. Just a great book to build team. And I think not only from a business, a team, all levels. Sports team, what have you. In terms of an app, I think the Dartfish app is great. There's a lot out there. I use the heck out of that on the iPad. Such a great, cool tool. Website. I like Club Industry website in my world. See what's going on in the health club world. It always has the latest news on what's happening in the business of fitness.
Yeah.
So the Club Industry website is a really cool resource. So, again, you got to find your niche. You got to find your groove in this industry.
Sure.
What do you want to be known for? What do you want to be great at? And then how do you develop that niche within a platform, or within a business where you can kind of, how we set it up, our business, we'll go into whether it be a large health club. We're in 20, 30, $40 million clubs, and we're also – little small 2,000 square foot, 3,000 square foot standalone businesses, and find the niche.
Right.
So if you're an independent coach and want to do this for a living, you can find a couple thousand square feet and have a nice little speed school training business. Or you might be a health club owner that you want to offer this service. So finding that niche, and if you're a health club or you're a coach out there that wants to get into this private sector, go find your local health club that might offer or be interested in offering sports performance.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might be a couple thousand square feet that's, really good deal on rent. You gotta go find your niche. And once you go in and find that niche, you gotta find that training niche. We use speed because speed training, parents the customer, the child is the consumer in our world.
That's right.
Parent is the customer, the child is the consumer. So the parents making the decision. Kids
right.
don't wake up one day at 9 years old, I want to go to speed school. The parents are talking to other parents, and that's how our sales cycle and sales funnel runs.
Sure.
Connecting with the parents. But, parents, they understand speed. They get it right away. Oh, my kid needs speed. Every sport, it's always the fastest kids that stand out.
Right.
In soccer, football, basketball. And that's been our niche to engage a market.
Yeah.
So, you want to really kind of think deep. I've thought a lot of nights, in bed thinking about my business over the years. How do we get and educate parents? Really get them to understand what it is we do. I think we make that overly complicated at times. It's all about keeping things simple
mm-hmm.
and easy to understand. I buy a new car. It's hard enough to figure out how to make the radio work, We don't need more complications in our lives.
That's right. No, I agree with you 100%, man. Well, brother, this has been fun, man. It really has. And like I said, I know how much work goes into providing resources for coaches and you know, doing speaking engagements and writing. And through the years, you have obviously had a profound impact on the profession and all those areas, and continue to do so with you know, creating opportunities for coaches, things along those lines. And so, man, I truly appreciate you coming on the show and what you do for the profession.
Well, thanks for having me, Ron. And I want to commend you on the great job you do being a strength coach, but also providing this great information and platform for coaches. Like I said, I reached out to you after I watched Chip Smith's interview. I was really moved by that. Got to know Chip a little bit more on a personal level, and that's why we're talking today.
Absolutely.
And it even stimulated me to reach out to Chip and say hello to him. You know, what a great guy to spend some time.
Absolutely.
And that's because of you making these connections. And, you know, it's all about creating a greater network, you know, and networking. And I gave a speech on the Perform Better circuit 1 year, and Chris Boyer said it was the best speech he ever heard on his tour. It was, the greater your network, the greater your net worth. And that was the title of the presentation. And, you know, if you build your network, and that's what you're doing, you're helping people build their network, you know, by the show. So, you know, you're doing a great job, and I want to thank you for having me and all the great people you have on, and all the information everyone's been sharing on your show has just been tremendous. So you're doing a great job.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out RonMcKeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @RMcKeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @Ron.McKeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.